7 o'clock one morning, my phone rang and I answered it. And it was my father who asked me, if he had woken me up. And I said, no, I'm just getting home. I've been shooting all night. And he said, what are you doing? Were you shooting all night? And I said, yes, so I was shooting all night. I was shooting Phantasm 3. And we were shooting nights. It's a horror film. So I was just getting home and I had to go to sleep. And I said, it's great to hear from you. I can't really talk much. I kind of need to get to bed. I have a huge day tomorrow and I'm really way over my head. And of course he wanted to know what I was doing. So I told him, and this is the hearse stunt. The pink hearse hits the pipe ramp and the movie hits the boulder and goes flying through the air. So we were doing a pipe ramp jump. I had never done that before. And I think to record, it's still the longest pipe ramp jump ever accomplished. So I told him about it. I said, I have 5 cameras. I have no idea what I'm doing. I'm really nervous. I need to get some sleep and I got to go find the location. And he was in Maine calling me. So I said goodnight and I went to bed. A couple hours later, I got up, drove out to Malibu Highway, or Mulholland Highway. We have about 6 hours to get ready. The stunt guys are figuring out where the ramp's going to go and bolting the pipe ramp into the ground and making some changes. I'm getting the lights in place with the electrical crew, figuring out which cameras are going to be at what frame rates and where they're going to be positioned. And stunt coordinator draws this diagram and he says, the car's going to hit the ramp at 55 miles an hour and it's going to land here. And he shows me exactly where it's going to land. So I put a camera in a crash box exactly there, thinking the car's going to come down and right on the camera is going to be fantastic. Of course, as we're getting ready, one of the lights goes out, big 12K goes out, and all of a sudden now I have one light instead of two. And of course, it's not where I want it, so I have to move it and we can't get it to work. During all this, there's a road inspector from the county who was drinking maybe bourbon, it smelled like. And he was very adamant that at 10 o'clock we were done. So we had till 10 p.m. If that car was not in the air and on the ground at 10 p.m., we were done. The plan is, of the 5 cameras, there's one that's kind of ways down the road on a long lens shooting back towards the car. So the car's going to come flying towards that camera. The idea is that we're far enough away that it's going to be fine. But the idea is that should the car land on its wheels, which is possible, and it starts coming towards us, the double safety is that there's a van standing by that's supposed to drive out and get between the speeding hearse coming towards me on the camera and me. So this van's going to like be demolition derby with the hearse. And additionally, there's a stunt guy who's harnessed in to this hillside next to, and he says, if the car's coming towards you, I'm going to grab you and we're going to jump. And I said, well, shouldn't I be in a harness and tied in? He said, I got you. I'm a kind of a big guy. I thought, I don't think you're going to be able to hold me. I think this is a really bad idea. But I'm young and kind of stupid, naive, so I go along with it. So we're all getting ready, and everything's set. I start walking to my camera to man it. And there's a crowd is formed, because obviously all the neighbors, who people out there, want to see what's going on. We have, you know, there's lights and there's a lot of vehicles, and they know there's something big happening because we have the road blocked off. So the AD says, you know, excuse me, folks, you guys have to be over behind the van. At the very least, they'll have to be on the other side of the van. But there's a guy there with a video camera kind of shooting. He's kind of in my face, and I'm trying to be a little nervous, and I'm going to get ready to do this shot. We have one take. We have two hearses, one we can destroy and one we need for the rest of the movie. I'm getting ready, and I said, excuse me, sir, you have to go with everybody else. And he lowers the camera, and it was my father, who 12 hours before, 10 hours before, was in Maine when he called me. I don't know how he found it, how he found me. I don't think I ever asked, or maybe he didn't tell me, or maybe I've forgotten, but I was just floored. We did the shot. It was kind of spectacular. The car totally overshot the crash cam, because even though he's supposed to hit the ramp at 55 miles an hour, he probably hit it closer to 70, so he went flying. Car crashes, lands, and rolls. It's filling my frame, and all I can think of is, you know, is that stunt guy going to really pull me out? Because all I have is car in my frame. I think I'm about to get run over, but I'm holding on for dear life shooting. Finally, I hear cut called. I look up, and the car's pretty far away. It was okay. I mean, it wasn't that close. Bob Ivey, who was the stunt driver, was in the car when he did this. He said he blacked out pretty much as soon as he hit the ramp. And so when he landed, they checked him. First thing, we checked him, made sure he was okay. And they actually took him to a hospital and have him checked out by a doctor. And everything was great. Like, the wind was knocked out of us. It was exhausting, the buildup and the aftermath. And my dad, he had his VHS camcorder with him, probably VHS-C or something. He said, I got the whole thing on tape, because we had no video assist. So we're like, well, we hope that was good. We whatever, we had no video assist. He goes, I got the whole thing here. I got it all on tape. I said, really, let's watch it. So Don came over and I rewound the tape a bit. We're all kind of crowding around, just the three of us, Don, my father, and myself. We're crowding around the viewfinder and you see the car coming towards us and it goes up in the air. And as soon as it goes in the air, the camera tilts to the ground and you hear my father say, holy shit. And I have a shot of the road and his foot. We don't have any of the rest of the shot, but it was just, it's, you know. That for me was such a significant moment because the fact that he would somehow find his way out there and come out all that way so quickly without announcing it. And then he spent about a week with me, I guess, and every night he would kind of hang out and sleep in my car and then come out and check out what we were doing and then go take a cat nap. And, you know, he's not a young man. At the time, he was probably, he was in his 60s for sure, but not terribly old either, but it was not his lifestyle. And so it meant a lot to me that he came out. After all the years of, especially after all the years of struggling and all the times of being told, you know, I should maybe think about what else I might do with my life, go to law school or whatever, to have him show up, it just was very special. And I always get choked up when I think about that.